Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan. I want us to look at a lady that we have identified in Acts chapter 16 as Lydia. And I want us to consider some very interesting things about this woman, her life, but not only in regard to what we see about her life, about the fact that she was separated from God and what it was that she did in order to correct, in order for her to be justified in the sight of God, in order for her to be forgiven. And then also not only what was required of her to become a New Testament Christian, in like figure, what do we see characteristic of this lady after she had obeyed the gospel of Christ? And then ultimately we want to ask, how do all of these things apply to you and me in our life? Good people, what do we think in regard to the background of what's going on here in the book of Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15? In the context, we understand that Lydia was from Thyatira, and Thyatira was a major Macedonian colony. In all of this, we come to an understanding is that it was a melting pot for the many nations round and about them. Also, we understand as we dig into the historicity of this place is that they were followers of Apollo. And Apollo was the sun god, and these people would bow themselves down to this god during the course in which they were worshiping some sort of a deity. Also, we understand, as is taught in the book of Revelation concerning Thyatira, and that is the same place, they had followed according to the ways of Jezebel. And as we consider this, it is not that Jezebel had literally appeared before them, but rather is that they had gone according to the adulterous ways that were customary concerning this lady of the Old Testament, Jezebel. And this sets the stage to help us to understand exactly what it was that this lady and even the church there would have faced as they were seeking to be pleasing and acceptable to our God. Also, we understand from the context is that Lydia was a successful businesswoman. It was not popular for women at that time to step out and venture into the business world or the world of trade, but yet at the same time, we come to an understanding concerning this lady is that she did. She was a very successful businesswoman. Thyatira was just off of the Aegean Sea, and it is said that the water there was ideal for dyeing, and in this, the colors had very bright and vibrant colors to them. And more specifically, as we consider what business it was that Lydia was in, the color purple. Lydia sold the color purple. And in order for an individual to buy purple, they themselves would have had to have been, more times than not, or at least to have saved up to have made the purchase, they would have had to have been very wealthy. And those then who were selling purple, then in like figure, would have been a very successful and wealthy individual. Also, when we consider what we learn about this woman, it helps us to understand that she was a woman of great mass or great wealth. In this, she had a very spacious household. Also, she had multiple servants who would have worked for her. We can rightfully conclude that Lydia was not only a businesswoman, but good people, she was a very successful businesswoman of that day. Also, we draw from the context that Lydia was a very sincere believer in God. In fact, the Bible tells us that she worshipped God. She knew that indeed there was a Creator. She believed that without question there was a deity that she needed to understand, that she sought so much to know. And in all of this, good people, we understand because of her understanding of these primary things, these basic principles, she bowed herself down on a continual basis to God. But yet at the same time, even though she was a sincere believer in God, the Bible tells us that Lydia was spiritually lost. You say, Kevin, what do you mean that she was spiritually lost? She was a believer of God. How can she be spiritually lost if she was a sincere believer? Good people, not only do we find this true concerning Lydia, in like figure, when we think in regard to a man by the name of Cornelius. You might remember concerning Cornelius that he was a man who was devout in his service to God, but yet at the same time, when Ananias was paying alms unto God and praying, God had sent a vision into this man that he needed to send men to Joppa who would find a man by the name of Simon Peter, and Peter would come and teach him. Why did Cornelius need to be taught? Because he himself, even though he was a devout man, even though he was a very sincere believer in God, he was lost. And in like figure, we come to this conclusion when we think in regard to Lydia. Even though she believed in God, the Bible tells us that that this woman was lost. What do we know concerning her conversion? Good people, Lydia was seeking to know more about God. How do we know? Because it was customary during the day that women would gather themselves down by the river and they would pray unto God. Lydia wanted to be a part of that company. And why did she want to be a part of this company? I believe first and foremost, certainly because she wanted to worship God. But yet at the same time, we understand is that her ears were open to hear not only what it was that Paul would later say unto her, but her ears were constantly appealed to the things that the others round and about her were saying. She knew that she knew of a God, but yet at the same time, she knew that there was so much more that she did not know. And for that reason, she was constantly doing what she could to understand concerning God. The Bible also tells us that Lydia's heart was opened by God. Good people, first, we need to understand is that when we think in regard to her heart being opened by God, it's not that God, through the powers of the Holy Spirit, had in some sort of a mystical or magical or miraculous way played upon her heart and opened her heart, that she was a part of some sort of an elect group. Good people, that's not the way in which God operates. How do we know then in regard to the way in which her heart was opened? Her heart was opened first and foremost because she wanted to understand concerning God. She wanted to make certain that as she was going throughout the course of her life, that she was going to be pleasing and acceptable to our God. And also we understand is that whenever the Apostle Paul comes into this woman, her understanding concerning the things that he has taught, she is now able to receive these things. It appears to me, according to the context, that in the past she was not one who was willing to receive these things. Or maybe she did not understand all that was being taught. But now, because her heart is open, because she wants to learn, and because now God is helping in regard to the understanding as the Apostle Paul is conveying the message, she now has an open heart that's going to receive the Word. Good people, in receiving the Word, what is it that she received? She was taught the true gospel of God. She was taught the true means of salvation. She was taught the truth concerning how God is eternal. She was taught the truth concerning the fact that God has established one kingdom. She was taught the truth concerning how an individual can be sincerely can be a sincere believer in God, but yet at the same time, how that they can be lost. This lady was taught the truth about what she needed to do in order to become a New Testament Christian. As a result of this, Lydia's household was baptized. First, let me make mention. Some people in the denominational world contend that those amongst the number who were baptized of Lydia's household would have been children. Good people, there's no way in the world that these children, if they were there in the household, would have been baptized. Why? Because they do not fit the criteria that God lays down for what constitutes scriptural baptism and for those who are required to receive scriptural baptism. In all of this, where are children in the sight of God? They do not need to be saved. Why? Because they are safe with God. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, God tells us through the words of Christ that we need to humble ourselves and to become like children. And unless we do that, we shall by no means enter into the kingdom of our God. What does God say about children? Children are precious to God. Children are safe in the sight of God. Well, who then is included in the household of Lydia? Lydia herself was baptized as well as her household. Good people, I believe it goes back to what we learned about her in the very beginning part of this lesson, and that would refer to her servants. Her servants, Lydia, understood the way that Paul had taught that she could receive the forgiveness of sins. And Lydia was on fire in regard to these things. And Lydia went back and she told her servants, and her servants, and as a result of hearing what Paul has to say, she and her household, she and her servants all put Christ on baptism immediately. In these things we understand concerning her service to God. Lydia extended hospitality unto the brethren. She begged and she pleaded with Paul that he and his company, if they found her faithful, that they would remain there in her household. And good people, this is not the only situation or instance where she opened up her house to those who were New Testament Christians. We also understand in the latter portion of Acts chapter 16 and verse 40, when the Apostle Paul and Silas had been released from the jail there in Philippi, the Bible tells us that they then entered into Lydia's house and they stayed there with her. And that no doubt she encouraged them and she took care of these men. Lydia was indeed a woman who extended hospitality unto the brethren. Also, we understand is that Lydia was faithful to God. You say, Kevin, how do we know that she was faithful to God? We only have just a few words that are stated concerning this woman. Note what is stated here in verse 15. It says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." Paul, as well as his company here in the context, as well as Paul and Silas, went and they stayed with this woman. Why? Because as they looked at her, they realized that her heart was truly set on serving God and that her life was characteristic of what a New Testament Christian's life is to be all about. Lydia was faithful to our God. But also, good people, we understand is that Lydia was fervent in spirit. Well, what does it mean that she was fervent in spirit? She was on fire. She was set on fire by the fact that she had received the forgiveness of sin. That she, at one point in time, had been confused concerning the truth about God. But now she had received the truth. She understood the truth. And she had obeyed the truth. And she is now living in the truth. And she did everything that she could to be hospitable. She did everything that she could to reach out to those who were around and about her. And today, you and I, in like figure, we need to be fervent in spirit sometimes in the church whenever somebody is baptized. What do? We go up and we hug them and we congratulate them and we welcome them into the body of Christ, and most certainly, let's continue to do that. But sometimes what we find is that their fire is going and going and going. We might be guilty of saying, "Oh, they'll get over that." And brethren, shame on us if we have that type of an attitude. Let us never pray that our brothers and sisters who are on fire for the Lord will get over that, but rather that they will continue to have that fire burning within them. And let's do all that we can to fuel that fire, to feed that fire, and allow them maybe to motivate us who have been Christians maybe for many, many years, and maybe our flame has died down. We also understand concerning Lydia that Lydia gave all to the Lord. She realized that all that she had, all of the blessings that she had acquired throughout the course of life, that in reality these things did not belong to her. These things belong to God. Her house, her servants, her finances. She freely gave all of these things. And good people, I'm not saying that she gave everything that she had, but rather she presented everything that she had so that it could be used to the glorification of our God's holy and righteous name. How do all these things apply to us? Oh, there's all kinds of application that we could make. But tonight also, I want us to make certain that we understand that there are souls who are still searching for the truth. We live in an age, as what we talked about this morning, that here in the United States and worldwide, people are so ungodly in so many ways. The world doesn't seem to frown about sin. The world doesn't seem to blush over sin. But yet at the same time, as I reach out and as you reach out, as we reach out together, we continue to find people, precious souls who are looking for the truth. And let's be like Lydia. Let's make certain that we are on fire to make certain that we are doing all that we individually as well as collectively can do to reach these souls who are truly wanting to know concerning our God. But also, good people, we also need to understand, we should understand, that wealthy people can be children of God. I remember years ago, whenever I was just a young boy, and started doing some teaching and later some preaching in the late 1980s and early 1990s. And in that, I remember studying through the Bible and thinking to myself that there's no way in the world that rich people are ever going to be able to go to heaven. Boy, was I ever wrong. The Bible identifies for us that there have been rich people all along that have been pleasing and acceptable to God. Take into consideration Abraham. Abraham was a man of great wealth. Not only Abraham, let's look at Lydia. Lydia herself, very wealthy. And it's not that wealthy people cannot go to heaven. In all of this, God wants, no matter if we're wealthy or if we're poor, God wants us to acquire the things that we do attain in life in an honest and upright manner. So it's not whether we're rich, middle class, or poor, but it's how we have attained these things. But also, good people, what it is that we do with those things that God has given unto us. Whether we're wealthy, middle class, or poor, we need to make certain that we're using our God-given blessings to the glorification of His holy and righteous name. Also, we understand as God stands willing and ready always to open the hearts of people. And as I've already stated, God does not open the hearts of people in a mystical, magical, miraculous way through the Holy Spirit, as Calvinistic doctrine would have us to believe, but rather He opens the hearts of those individuals whose hearts are open and receptive to know Him. And it's not that God opens their heart in a sense to obedience. It's that God opens their heart to the point to where they're willing to listen, to understand the things that have been laid before them. And how does God do that? God sent Paul with the message, and today God sends us with the message to those individuals. And He brings us providentially together from time to time. And as a result then of our being brought together, we proclaim the true message as what Paul did with Lydia. And because the heart is open, that person will indeed become a New Testament Christian. Also tonight, as we close, we need to consider that Christians must always be hospitable. We need to make certain that we take advantage of the multiple opportunities that God presents before us each and every day of our life here. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints of Galatia, said, "As you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith." Brothers and sisters in Christ, as God presents opportunities to us each and every day, let the world round and about us understand that we are indeed the true church, that we are indeed true Christians by letting our light shine, by doing good deeds for and towards these individuals. Let us make certain that they understand that we are indeed seeking to be hospitable. But also let us be hospitable towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. Dawn and I, our family, have been very blessed over the years that we have been in the ministry to be able to go to and to be in multiple homes throughout the United States and even throughout the world. And we have come in contact with some of the most hospitable people here in the world. And they are members of the body of Christ who welcome you into their home. And then in return, what we have sought to do is, in like figure, to repay the favor. This past weekend, whenever Chris Hurd and Brittany were in town, and we've had others since we've been here and in Pennsylvania, it is such a blessing to have people into your home. And in reality, in all of this, keeping in mind is that the things that we have, we need to be like Lydia, to give all to the Lord. Why? Because in reality, it does not belong to us. It belongs to God. Lydia, the seller of purple. But what a godly lady, with some wonderful examples for each and every one of us tonight. Tonight we want to ask, are you a New Testament Christian? Have you opened your heart to be receptive to the message that God has laid before us concerning matters of salvation? Have you become a New Testament Christian? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If you have not, then the Bible tells us that you're lost. But God does not want it to be that way, and we pray and trust that you do not want it to be that way. If only you will respond as Lydia and her household did.